Hi, this is Pastor John, and you've visited my website again. Thank you for coming by. It is Monday, the 24th of August, 2009. Let me share something with you. I yesterday was invited to go to lunch at a member of my family's home on the Hispanic side of the family. And as I got there, everybody was sitting down, and they were, you know, having lunch. And I went into the house to eat because the kids were out in the back, and they were jumping in and out of the little plastic, kind of a semi-deep swimming pool thing that they constructed back there. Cousins having fun with each other, you know. And since I'm the granddad, I stepped on the inside. And there was an interesting discussion taking place between my daughter, her husband, and one of the parents of the other children. And they were talking about the influence of music in the life of the child. And I was made proud as I was eating my food that I must admit I shouldn't have eaten all of that, but I did. You know me, I just get carried away. Ooh, this summer was just filling for me. But anyhow, they were having a discussion about the influence of music and what music to let them listen to. And my son-in-law made me very proud because he said that he controls what they listen to, what they watch on television, and all of that. So I jumped into the conversation and I began to tell them, you know, it's not only the media, it's the schools. It's what their teachers tell them is the law, what is all right. And then it is what their fellow, peers in the classroom, out on the playground, tells them when they're playing together. I said, you have so much these days to fight against that. Well, as I came home last night and I got through putting up one of the little YouTube clips, hope that you get a chance to look at Sean's devotion for the 23rd of August. I think it was nice based upon Romans 7. Really gave a great discourse there. But I said, well, I feel like going to bed because I was tired. I had been up since about 4 o'clock Sunday morning. And so I turned on the television, and they have a cable screen called Padilla or something like that, where they show some of the latest singers in their concert singing. And I have HDTV, and I said, well, let me watch this person. And they had this person on called Makaira Carey, whatever her name is. All right. I'm not familiar with these people, but she's a beautiful, beautiful lady, kind of like blondish, brownish hair, and just voluptuous, beautiful person. She's singing and moving and dressed scantily, and I'm not a lustful person like that. I just recognize that the person is just put together well. You know, a guy would look at her and say, now that's the kind of gal I want to be with. She's just gorgeous. But as she was singing on the stage, and I believe that the concert was back in the year 2007, and the concert was given in Orange County, I don't know where, but she said Orange County, so I'm assuming it's here, and it was here in the Southern California area. So I was watching the lights and looking at the people's, the background singers, and I was looking at the drummers, the guitarists, and all of the theatrics that they had there. But you know what caught my attention, and that's what I want to talk with you about during this already almost 5-minute webcast, was the reaction of the people that were watching her. Because while she was doing her little concert on the stage, the ex-singing group, Boys to Men, comes on the stage and begins to sing with her a song. Now, I don't know what the song is about. I'm just watching it, but they're singing this song. And then the camera flashes on the audience. And I see these young people, I guess teenagers, and then they had some small children there, singing along with Miss Carrie, Makaira Carrie, I think, or an MC is what she calls herself. But they're singing along with her. And I saw the teenage girl singing along with her. And then the teenage and young men singing along with her. This song, like they were trapped up into this aura or this mantra with this woman. And then guess what I saw? And the camera showed it. Some of the girls and the guys literally crying as they're singing the song with this black woman. And I'm saying, then it hit me. It hit me like a lightning bolt. Our children have been seduced. I never in my life, I recall once the Temptations came to the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, and I went to see them as a teenage boy. We got some tickets, and we went in. I think me and my friend Beaver and some other two or three other people, and we went in, and we were almost right up on the stage. And since we had a little singing group together, we were looking at them, seeing how they sound in person, and we frowned up and looked at each other and started laughing and said, man, come on. They didn't have all of the stage antics that they have today. And so we, you know, but we knew that it was the Temptations, and we looked at them and said, yep, they look just like they do on the album cover. Listened to them and says, man, that was nice the way they did their little steps and everything. Because we had a little singing group and we were going to try to do that. But never, ever did you see, I mean, only some of these crazy girls are crying, but guys crying after even a gal singing or a dude singing? Guys? Totally feminized. To just whacked. Our young people are whacked. Satan has done a tremendous job instilling your children. And the conversation that I overheard yesterday, and then at the end of the day when I watched that Padilla channel, whatever it is, on cable, it solidified it, because now I'm thinking when my grandchildren get to be 13 and 14 years old, they're going to be so mesmerized by listening to these. And I won't call them worldly people. What? They're singing secular songs. As a matter of fact, there was one song that Miss Carrie was singing at the end of the concert. And she was talking about keep your faith and God will help you. And then the people start crying more. I said, my God, with your breasts hanging out and your buttocks almost popping out of the dress, now you're talking about divine stuff? And, oh, God bless you, God bless you, and thank you. Then I thought about it for a minute. I thought about it, and I said, oh, John, you're just a stupid old fogey. You're a gray-headed old dude. Your time is up. It's about well spent. You're just mad because you can't get a chick like that. And, oh, yes, I could. Oh, don't get that twisted. You can get anything you want in this town. Anything you want, something better than that. I don't know how much you pay for it, but you can get it. And that's not the bottom line, my friend. So I'm not some old man mad at life because I'm 65. I'm telling you, you've lost your children. And you parents out there with children, you better figure out a schematic to get them back. And you know what? It was back in the day when I didn't allow that stuff to be piped through the speakers of my house. Because back in the day when I raised my kids, the songs weren't as terrible as they are today. But now with, man, my goodness, man, with these rappers and all this other stuff, it's going to be almost probably impossible for you unless your children are very, very Christian and very dedicated to Christ. It's going to be almost impossible to keep them out of the bed with other kids. It's just going to be impossible. The media blitz, what they've done to these youngsters is basically stolen their minds. Now, The only thing working on the planet that makes any sense is biblical Christianity when lived out. I want to talk with you adults. You can't beat your kids. You can't force. And when they go away to college, oh my God, if they are not grounded and have their minds made up that Christ is real to them, they are gone. Gone. I'm not going to give you these pretty little pictures, these little scenarios. I'm not going to tell you about a book to buy to how to keep your kid. I remember a kid graduated from high school, and I gave him a book. You know, how do you, it was something along the lines. How do you keep your child in Christ after he goes to college? That's what it was all about. How do you keep him in Christ after he goes to college? Well, I gave this kid this book. One of the kids that we had kind of brought up in the church and all, and nice kid, just very, my goodness. Since that time, he's been married and divorced. God only knows what he's been through. Just living off, it didn't work. Reading some book on how to keep somebody in Christ is not going to work. There's only one book that you can read, and that is the Word of God, the Bible, and you've got to believe it. So I just want to admonish you, adults out there with children, that you got a fight on your hands. You have a fight on your hands. Now, I'll be praying for you. This is Pastor John in the studio. Woo! My goodness. Pray for our young people and pray for the parents that's raising them. And hold back on this. I don't want to end this right now. I don't want to end this. I want to make a statement because I feel moved to say this right now. Let me say this right now. You may say, that's why I don't have television. And that's why I won't allow my child, because we were having a discussion about the little earplugs that the kids have in their head and they're texting. They text each other. They listen to music. They tune out the parent. I can't end that at 12, 10 minutes. I got to keep going. How they tune you out, how they tune you parents out, well, they tune you out on purpose. They don't figure you have anything to say to them worth anything in the first place. So they tune you out. They're listening to their iPods and to their music. They have their friends. You're old, antiquated. Now, you've already, oh yeah, I got to talk about this. Man, this is good. What you've done, see, is you bought those vans with the televisions in them. You've entertained them from the day that they were toddlers because you didn't want to be bothered with them in the first place. So you attached them to the tube. And I'm telling you, man, America's gone. If anything, I'd pray to God that he just turns off the power. Maybe if he turns off the power in every major city in this country, we would get our children's minds back. Just to sit down and have a conversation with you, for goodness sake. They don't talk with you. They constantly got to be entertained. They're either looking at a video, looking at TV, or listening to music, or quoting some media person who's told them what life is about. And that's why when they get to it, man, one of the sorriest things, they had this kid, 13 years old, and he's going all over the country and the world now telling other kids his age about global warming, which is a hoax. Nothing but a blooming hoax. Because the little twerps, parent won't talk to them enough and tell them the truth. And so when they listen to someone like Al Gore, they're going to go around and become a spokesman to the other little nitwits in the world that don't know anything. Let me tell you something about this big, beautiful planet of ours that God has created. Yeah, men are going to pollute it. men are going to do that, and some portions of the environment will be affected by our inappropriate behavior with it. But melting the ice caps, let me tell you something. If the ice caps melt and flood Manhattan or Los Angeles, let it be done, let it be said. Man has no control of that. But our children believe everything that a nitwit behind a desk in school tells them. Why? Because the parents have cut off the child's ability to discern by giving the child wisdom on how to come to know what reality is. All right, let me carry this webcast further. I'm not ready to end it. No, I'm not. Hold on. Okay, I got it in my hands right now. Somebody send me this. And see, some of you think that I'm out of my mind. I'm not out of my mind. I am not. In 1929, the Soviet Union established gun control from 1929 to the year 1953. Well, about 20 million dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. These are facts. I want you to listen to me. I'm finished. In 1911, Turkey, you know, that country over there, established gun control from 1915 to 1917. 1.5 million Armenians, unable to defend themselves, they were rounded up and exterminated. All right, in Germany, established gun control in 1938. From 1939 to 1945, a total of 13 million Jews and others who were unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. Now, you can get your jaws tight all you want to. I'm giving you facts. Facts. China established gun control in the year 1935. From 1948 to 1952, 20 million political dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. All right, that you diehard liberals out there, you the one that thinks, well, our government would never. You know what? Y'all need to wake up. Guatemala established gun control in the year 1964 when I was 20 years old. And from 1964 to 1981, 100,000 Mayan Indians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Isn't this interesting that each country has its gun control thing and then the slaughter begins? Ah, listen to this, listen to this. Uganda established a gun control in 1970. Well, you may say, good for them. There hasn't been a decent African government that did anything right. Okay. Well, from 1971 to 1979, 300,000 Christians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Now, you're not feeling me yet. You're not feeling me yet. Cambodia established gun control in 1956. That was the year that my mom died. From 1975 to 1977, 1 million educated people, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. And you have to understand why this writer put educated, because they had to get rid of the educated people, because the educated people knew what was going on. The educated people would train and teach the uneducated. And that's what they do, is they get rid of people like me. And you youngsters, I really feel sorry for you. You youngsters in your 20s and early 30-something, you don't know these things because you've been reared on the, oh, Lord, don't have me cursing on this thing. I almost used the D word. Because, see, I'm peed off. I am. What they've done to you. And you don't know what they've done to you. Walking around here thinking you free. Defenseless people rounded up and exterminated in the 20th century because of gun control. Yeah, somebody did a count on it. 56 million human beings. It has now been 12 months since gun owners in Australia, that's the land down under, were forced by a new law to surrender 640,381 personal firearms to be destroyed by their own government. A program costing Australian taxpayers more than $500 million. Let's look at the first year results since they're now in. And this person only lists seven items. Australia-wide, homicides are up 3.2%. See, you take away my gun. Anyone's apt to, I can just go on in there on PJ and whack him anytime I want. Remember, these people are, what law? What law? Australia-wide assaults were up 8.6%. In other words, you can just run up to somebody and hit him in the head. There's not going to be any retaliation. Australia-wide armed robberies are up 44%. Can you believe that? Since they outlawed guns, for the citizen owning the guns, 44%. And you know America's a violent place. In the state of Victoria alone, homicides with firearms are up 300%. Note that while the law-abiding citizen turned them in, the criminals did not turn their guns in, and criminals still possess their guns. Yeah, because you're not going to get no guns from them. They'd be a fool to give them up. While figures over the previous 25 years showed a steady decrease in armed robbery with firearms, this has changed drastically upward in the past 12 months since criminals are now guaranteed that their prey is unarmed. See, the criminals saying they ain't got no guns, man. They're not going to be shooting back. There's also been a dramatic increase in break-ins.